The real hip hop, MCing, and DJing from your own mind, you know.
I guess right now we should start the show.
What's up, Music City? Welcome back into the Fringe Radio Show right here on WRFNLP, Pasco, Tennessee, Radio Free Nashville and RadioFreeNashville.org. 103.7 FM on your dial, and if you're checking us out west of the city, tune in on 107.1. But we're always worldwide at RadioFreeNashville.org. My name is ET. Thanks for joining me tonight. I will be your host this evening. And a little bit about the station. Radio Free Nashville is a nonprofit organization owned and operated by local people right here in Music City. These local people create programming, design events, and keep the station up and running and on the air. And Radio Free Nashville intends to be a community forum for the music, voices, and viewpoints generally ignored or misrepresented by the corporate media. You guys can make a tax-deductible donation to the station by going to RadioFreeNashville.org. If you want to tune in to the show, just scroll down and it'll show all the different avenues you can stream the show. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app. And, of course, if you are in your car, check us out at 103.7 FM. We are sponsored by the Nashville Fringe Festival. Make sure you go to NashvilleFringeFestival.org to check us out there. Get on the email list. You'll be the first one to get. We put out a music sampler, artists that you've probably heard right here on the show before. You'll find out all the things that are happening in the city when things do start happening in the city again. But check out the articles. There's videos, previous radio broadcasts, interviews, lots of stuff you guys can check out on the Fringe Festival's website. And the Nashville Fringe Festival exists to celebrate the diversity of Nashville artists and to honor the legends among us who enrich our city and inspire our lives. It's a collective of arts featuring music, dance, crafts, spoken word, film, and performance art of all varieties. And you guys can also make a tax-deductible donation to the Nashville Fringe Festival by going to NashvilleFringeFestival.org. Appreciate what you guys do for us out there. This is why we do what we do. And again, this is ET. I'm here every other Monday night. Catch me on the second and fourth Mondays. My boy Al D will be in next week doing his thing. And we both appreciate everybody out there for listening. And hope you continue to do so and help us spread the word about the Nashville Fringe Festival and about the unity amongst ourselves to really all support each other and celebrate the diversity of all the talented people that we have right here in Music City. Also, when you're on the website, NashvilleFringeFestival.org, you'll see right there on the top, we've got the community bulletin board, which we've just started. And it's basically, you know, you can submit your events there. You can submit performances. This is just kind of like the pegboard at your neighborhood coffee shop or the front window at your local record store. If you got something going on and you want people to know about it in Nashville, this is the place to be, NashvilleFringeFestival.org. Get on there, submit your event, and hopefully as places start to open up and people start to get back out, we're going to fill this bulletin board up. Right now, on the top of the board, you can check out a streaming video set by Charles Butler called Bluegrass in a Basement. You guys have heard Charles Butler on the show numerous times, and he's also been on a couple of the seasonal samplers that we'll put out. So make sure you guys go to NashvilleFringeFestival.org, check out everything Nashville right there, and if you are interested in coming on the show, just send us your information, preferably some music we can check out, and we will get back to you. Tonight on the show, live in studio, I got a friend of mine, James, in the house, and we're basically just gonna rap about music tonight. He's got a very diverse taste in music, and you guys are gonna see that tonight. We're gonna play several songs that he has submitted for us to check out, and he's got a little bit of music history himself. So, without further ado, my man James in the house. James, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Fringe Radio Show.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here and talk about anything we need to talk about music-wise or life, whatever.
So we've been kind of discussing doing this for a little while now. Finally got some time to make it happen. So I guess I've known you, we're getting, 7-8 months, something like that. And,
about that, yep.
You know, when we first met each other, didn't really know anything about musical likes or dislikes or history or anything like that. And, it just so happens James is a big hip-hop fan, as you guys know we are here at the Fringe Radio Show. James was a hip-hop artist at one point in his career. And so we're just going to... What's that?
Long time.
Yeah, hey, I hear you, man. We're all getting old. But we're going to just take a trip with James tonight and talk a little bit about that history. And we're going to play some songs that, you know, maybe he feels an emotional impact to. And I'm sure you guys will, because some of these songs are some really classic ones. And some of them I'd actually never heard before and got a chance to listen to them. So I'm excited to play them for you guys there tonight. But so, James, you kind of started as an MC a long time ago. Well, I guess technically you started as more just kind of writing and then and then that developed. Yep. So tell me a little bit about your music history, kind of when and how you got started and what that led you to do.
I was about 13 years old. I think I was 13. I had just discovered Rakim. I saw a video of his on BET. And prior to that, I'd been listening to stuff like Master P, you know, stuff like that, which it's still all good and fun to listen to. But and even then, I listened to all types of music. Country in the 90s was not really my thing. Country prior to that, I love it. But
it's not country now, man. It's a whole different thing.
Not even country anymore. There's a couple of artists that I do enjoy. But so once I saw that Rakim video, the lyrics, I was just blown away by it. And so I went online and just started searching, learning all I could about Rakim. And I somehow ended up on the website homegrownhiphopzone.com.
Oh, yeah. Been there many times.
And I ended up on the message boards. And then I just found this board where it was nothing but people writing songs. It was that they weren't structured as a verse, a hook. They was just, there would be a topic and it was just 30, 60, 120 bars of just nothing but lyrics. And the topics spanned from everyday life to celestial beings. It was incredible. And that's where I first started, and that's where I got my first motivation to write. And started off terrible. Can't say that it ever even improved.
Well, I will say you greatly improved, because I've heard some of your old stuff. And believe it or not, I still remember to this day the very first verse I ever wrote in my life.
Lucky
you. It was quite terrible. and, you know, I was 12, maybe 11, something, somewhere right around that age. And what actually got me into music was I started as a dancer. My cousin and I, we had a dance group called Interfusion, and we used to do all these crazy acrobatic type dances, and we do break dancing, and we used to compete in all these talent shows, and so that kind of evolved to, hey, it would be great if we could make our own music. We got our own dance routines. Let's create our own music. Let's be able to put on a show and do everything original. We can do it all. We can be the performers. We can dance. We can sing. We can write. We can do everything.
Very cool.
And so we started. You know, I remember writing my first rhyme sort of that weekend after we talked about it. It is quite the lyrical talent that I had back when I was like 12 years old. Talking about things I had no idea what I was talking about, things that had nothing to do with me. Yep. And I'm so glad that I matured and grew up and had some people kind of steer me in the right path, because, you know, music's such an important part of my life. And I always like to hear kind of how people start. So that's really interesting that Rakim, you know, really inspires you, because I remember listening to Rakim in the locker rooms before football games, and I would always get pumped up before games listening to Rakim. And of course, back then we had the old school sound systems, the huge speakers, would rattle the whole school. So that inspired you to get into music, and your MC name was Sign 7.
It funny thing, it actually started out as Gatekeeper.
Okay.
A guy that I got acquainted with through ICQ in the beginning. We started chatting, and he...
Quick quiz. Do you remember what ICQ stood for?
Not a clue.
Me neither. but I did have it.
I don't even know if I ever knew that, actually.
Yeah, I knew a long time ago. Go ahead. Continue. Gatekeeper.
Yeah. I had this buddy. His name was Rec. And we did a lot of text ciphering through ICQ. And one day he was just like, what are we... Because we were going to post one of them on the Homegrown Hip Hop Zone as as just one of our songs. And he asked me, what are we supposed to call you? And I said, I'd never even thought about it. And he said, well, you'll be Gatekeeper. So, okay, I'm good with that. And then over time, as I matured and my lyrics got more involved and grew, Sign 7 just... It became something important to me, not necessarily biblically, uh-huh. but what the seventh sign, the meaning of it and what it meant to me was something that just kind of became a part of who I was.
It's funny because the history behind my name, E.T., which is what I've always went by, except for a short time where I had this alter ego called Infest, but that's a whole other story.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, there's no like great story behind my name either. It was basically Shaquille O'Neal used to rap, and he had a song where he said the lyrics were something like, I rhyme in basketball and people call me E.T. What's that, Shaq man? Extra tall and... Because I was taller than all of my friends. So I had this one friend who, oddly enough, his nickname was Pop-Tart. Because he used to eat Pop-Tarts every morning at school.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah. He started calling me E.T., and so literally to this day, I still go by E.T. Now, of course, I have evolved the name to make it mean something else. I say it stands for Entertainment Tonight. But yeah, so that's where my name came from. And sometimes people always ask me what E.T. stands for. And I have all these crazy meanings of what I give to them just to sort of see what their reaction is. Because the original story is just so boring. Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, you're Gatekeeper, so that's going to be your name. Yeah. I thought maybe you were a Ghostbusters fan, or is that the key? I don't know, the key keeper or whatever it is on Ghostbusters. Well, cool. So you went from Gatekeeper to Sign 7. And these forums you were on, because we talked a lot about this off the air, but they originally just started as sort of text forums, mm-hmm. where people would go in and sort of just type their rhymes. Mm-hmm. And would people battle that way too, with text rhymes? How'd that work?
Absolutely. That was actually the, percentage-wise, that was the majority of the text scene was text battling. And funny thing about Homegrown Hip Hop Zone, just an aside, because audio will come later, but what made Homegrown Hip Hop Zone unique were two things. One, when you clicked on the button to post, uh-huh. it would give you a list. If you wanted to, you could take a list and do a drop down of all kinds of beats, just hundreds of beats, and you could write to those beats. And the very first one I noticed was one of Rakim's beats.
Nice.
And I used that a lot. But now, as far as battling, Homegrown Hip Hop Zone at the time was it was the biggest platform available.
Yeah,
they had a I believe it was Flash. They had a Flash setup with brackets,
uh-huh.
and there was it was in tiers. I think there were three or four tiers,
mm-hmm.
and of course you had your first tier where you had the battlers who either weren't that great or were new,
mm-hmm.
and then you had your next tier where you're starting to climb the ranks, people are getting noticed, and then you had your final tier. That's where if you signed up to battle there, it was going to be a long, drawn out. We do sometimes 5-6 rounds, one for one,
mm-hmm.
and it was just fantastic. Just thinking back to some of the guys I remember there, Bal Thausai, MMX, Change, some of the guys from Culture 6 who still make music to this day.
Yeah.
I was a part of that group for a while in the text scene. But the thing about the text battling was you don't need a good cadence that you need for a beat.
Yeah.
So you just need to be creative.
You don't
creative.
Even need to fit the beat, really.
Exactly. There's no beat in most of them. And so the things that people would write would just be... astronomically better than any lyric you would hear, like Nas, Ether. That was good.
Yeah.
But
well, you have to tailor, you have to sort of chop those things up and fit them into that, you know, however long you have to say that rhyme.
They have to, the guys have to fit to a beat, and they have to, you know, make it so that people understand what they're saying and understand the references. Whereas
it's got a rhyme
in the, and it's got a rhyme.
Yeah.
And in the text scene, not only did, was the rhyming and the flow of it hugely better. Like there was one guy, I can't remember his name, but his, everybody knew him because every single syllable and every single line always rhymed no matter what. And he was able to manipulate those syllables into absolutely fantastic verses.
Nice.
And then the guys that were battling, just the things that they said, you would never hear ever on an actual audio track.
Yeah.
Because they're so well thought out, and just people would not be able to get the reference at all.
I know you're a syllable guy, man. You like
it's
those,
gotta be
those
syllables.
So further on down after that, there was rapmusic.com, SOHH.com, and we talked a lot about rapmusic.com because I spent a lot of time on there, and that was where my sort of, I kind of the same way, I started with the tech stuff and then they transitioned into the audio. And there were some guys that I remember, I can't remember their names now, but that were on those forums, and they got big. I mean, there was a handful of them that got really big. And this one guy, I can't remember his name for anything, but he was on the Arsenio Hall show one time. And I was like, you know, you felt like that was a little piece of you out there.
Well, Deacon.
Doing it. Yeah, Deacon.
Deacon was on set for us.
Shout out to Deacon, Cunning Linguist. Love those guys. I ain't talked to Deacon in a long time. And, but yeah, so those, I mean, that was really, you know, kind of the way that MCs paid their dues back in the day were through those online forums. And, I don't know if anything like that exists anymore, to be honest with you. I really don't know.
It's there. There may be one or two sites that still have very skilled text lyricists. I still browse them every once in a while, talk to some guys. But as a large macro platform, it's gone.
You don't need it anymore, I guess. You know, you can do your own website or Facebook or Instagram and probably reach way more people now than you did back then. So
YouTube, TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, there's you need like a secretary just to keep up with all this kind of stuff. Like if I were to try to, I'm hardly on social media, but if I were to try to do all that, I would need like lots of extra time in the day. So you got into music, and then I guess shortly after that you joined the Army. You were sort of all over the world. So tell me about some of the places you were, and maybe if there was a music scene in those places, or what you guys did, or how you got your music. Just tell me a little bit about that.
So, of course, I joined the Army. I started in early 2003, did basic training, Fort Benning, Georgia, did my did my job training at Augusta, Georgia, at Fort Gordon. And then I immediately got orders to go to South Korea. So fast forward, I'm in South Korea. I'd been there, I don't know, a few months. My roommate was actually, we called them, their name was Katusas, Korean augmentees to the United States Army. They were Korean nationals who, they had a choice to either go to the police, the Korean Army, or the American Army. They had to serve 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, no matter what. And if they could speak English and were, I'd say it this way, but if they could test well enough intellectually, then they would be offered to come to Contusa's, and they actually got paid much better.
Gotcha.
And, so I had a Contusa roommate. His name was, Song Kim. Kim Song. He introduced me to a Korean rapper named Lee Sang. I still have some of Lee Sang's albums.
How did he sing?
I'm sorry?
It's a joke on the name.
Lee Sang well. But he was very good, and this was at the time that I was pretty snobby when it came to hip hop.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand a thing that he was saying, but his syllable manipulation was incredible and anything I would expect from a good artist.
Yeah.
So I would just listen to this guy, not having a clue what he was saying. And I later learned how to read and write Korean. I wasn't ever very good at speaking it.
Yeah.
But then...
Can you still read and write it?
A lot of it. Yeah. I can't write it very good at all anymore, but if I see a Korean sign, it'll take me a few seconds, but I can read out what it is. But then when I got introduced to Lee Sang, and it seemed like it all sort of happened around the same time. I was going out to a club in, it was a small city right outside Seoul called, it might have just been a district. It was called Myeongdong. And it was a huge, huge pop culture center for Korea at the time. And I think it is still huge. They do concerts there like almost every night. Yeah. And I met a guy. I can't remember his name. He was a little short, redheaded, skinny kid. And it turned out throughout the night after going out to eat with him. And we went out to a club and... He just disappears. Next thing I know, he's on the stage. He's the DJ for like the next 2 hours. Like that was his side gig. He was the DJ at that club. And that was really about the only experience I had with the Korean music scene. Now, as far as getting my music, what was the LimeWire, I think was the,
was
the thing
Wire.
At the time. Yeah.
Man, thing was not safe. You get viruses on there. Of course, you were getting stuff for free. Weren't supposed to. Kind of like a Napster was the big one.
Napster was the first one.
And then they kind of took the bullet for everybody else.
Yep.
God, I can't remember. They ended up just getting shut down altogether. Yeah. I think.
Well, Napster became a paid platform for downloading and streaming, and I think it evolved. It's still out there. I don't know if it's called Napster anymore, but it has evolved into a legitimate business.
Yeah,
and
it's an iTunes type of thing or something.
Yeah, it's gone bigger than just music. It's like business files, all kinds of stuff can go through that now.
Have to check that out.
Yeah, this is interesting because I was when LimeWire was killing my computer.
Yeah.
I got to find something.
Yeah.
But and you know, I also I bought thousands of dollars worth of music CDs because I'm a young kid in Korea. I got no responsibilities. Every amount of income is disposable.
Yeah.
And some of the stores there, some of the record stores there, were bigger than anything we'd ever had in the States, other than maybe Tower Records, which was literally a tower of music. But I remember one store in Seoul, in Itaewon. Itaewon is just another little social district in Seoul. And I was walking through one day. I'd come out of a really good Chinese restaurant, and I was walking back to base. And I'd walked by this place probably hundreds of times, and I just looked over, and there was a big stanchion of Usher, his new album, which I thought was great. And I looked in the store, and the store's probably, I think it was either four or five floors.
Wow.
Records, CDs, tapes. There were 8 tracks in there.
Wow.
There was everything you could imagine for music and from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And spent a lot of time in there spending money. Yep.
Man, I wonder if those places are still there today.
Probably not, no.
It's almost, you know, the only thing I can equate to that nowadays, I guess, would be like a McKay's.
Yeah.
Which is almost like a big warehouse full of, they have books and other things.
Pawn shops.
Well. Yeah. Yeah,
pawn shops.
You know, every time I'm in a thrift store, I find records. I mean, you see, every time I'm in there, I try to grab a stack of records, and you never know what you're going to find. And in the hip hop world, you know, it's a lot about sampling, and you really find some gems on places you never would have expected it. So, so that's cool. So you got to experience a little bit of the music scene and across the world, and then you finally come back to the States. And we've got this list of songs that you sent me that we want to play. So what I want to do now is kind of shift to the music a little bit. And we want to play some of these tracks and maybe just kind of get you tell us a little bit about these or what this song means to you. Or maybe it's just a nostalgia type of thing that takes you back to a certain time in your life. So let's jump into a little bit of music. So up first tonight on the Fringe Radio Show, you know, we like to kind of keep things centered around Nashville, so why not talk about a little bit about Johnny Cash? We're going to play a song called A Boy Named Sue, and full disclosure, I'm not a big Johnny Cash fan, but I had actually never heard this song before, and James, you sent it to me, and I played it, and you know, I know you like those stories, and this is definitely one of those storytelling songs. So tell me why you put this one on the list tonight.
Well, I am a big Johnny Cash fan. I think you're so wrong. But I, when I heard this song, the first time I heard it, I actually didn't even know it existed. A buddy of mine told me about it and played it for me. And as I was listening to it, just the story that it was telling and the relationship with his father and how it developed over the years, even in the absence of his father, and the metaphors that you can apply to life using this song are astounding. And it's just one of those songs that you can either take it literally or you can take it however you want it and apply it to something. Yeah. But even if you take it literally, it's still a fantastic song to listen to.
Yeah. I will agree. I did enjoy this song. So maybe Johnny Cash has a couple other gems I haven't heard and I might need to check out. But let's listen to this one. Here's Johnny Cash with A Boy Named Sue.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat the dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother had had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold, and I said, my name is Sue, how do you do? Now you gonna die. Yeah, that's what I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beard. I tell you, I've fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name, and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Yeah, he said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me, and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in your eye, cause I'm the son of a bitch that named you Sue. Yeah, well, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, any damn thing, but Sue, I still ain't that man.
Welcome back to the Fringe Radio Show. This is E.T. I got my buddy James in studio with us tonight, and that was Johnny Cash, A Boy Named Sue. And quite the story there with that song, and a bit comical too. And but I did really enjoy that one. Up next, we've got Jedi Mind Tricks with Shadow Business. And I know you're a big Jedi Mind Tricks guy, so huge. Tell me why this one's on the list.
Well, this track is relevant all the way back to the beginning of human ever, and it's still relevant today. It's simply about the situation of Chinese slave labor.
Yeah.
And it's slavery. It's a very direct song. There's no punches are held. Even quotes are used from people who have been involved with this. And you know, it's sad that they even import slaves to the U.S. under contracts to work, and they're governed under these rules that are draconian at best. Mm-hmm. And Vinny Paz really gets into this, and the stuff he says is just hits home so easily. And even this is another song, even if you don't take it literally, you can take this and apply this to any part of your life. If any kind of struggle, you can take this and apply it to American slavery back in the 1600s. So yeah, this is
definitely a song that I take literally when you listen to it.
Yeah, because for sure, me
you're
too.
Hearing the people's voices.
Yeah,
you know, on there. How old is this song? Do you know?
Oh, it's I think it was on the Servants in Heaven, Kings in Hell. That would have been 2004 to 2007 range. I don't know exactly when the album came out.
It's been a while, because I remember I had heard this song a long time ago, mm-hmm. and I had forgotten about this song mm-hmm. until you actually brought it up to me. So another great song, great storytelling right here. Here's Jedi Mind Tricks with Shadow Business.
The factory made of tin panels with tin roof. It's really hot. The temperature over there is regularly 90 degrees, and inside the factory or the dormitory, it reached way over 100 degrees.
Yeah, it's a contemporary form of slavery, they call it slave labor, but they don't prosecute them cause it's how they make paper. When you rocking that fly shit that's made in China, by an 8-year-old child trying to feed his mama, he exposed to contamination and disease, and only 55% of them will get degrees, and the women have to try to placate the boss, because it's sex discrimination in the labor force. The slave master only let them speak in sign language, and they suffering from lung disease and eye damage. 14-hour shifts, 7 days a week, 2 shitty meals a day, very little sleep. Human life only worth 3 cents an hour. All human rights lost, no sense of power. What did 400 years in the grave pass us? Only the improved cleverness of slave masters.
Is life worth living if you're living in hell? When the mind is confined to a prison or cell, and the lies they devise in the system that fell, but I expect the system to fail. Is life worth living if you're living in hell? When the mind is confined to a prison or cell, and the lies they devise in a system that fell, but I expect the system to fail.
Many Chinese workers are forced to sign secret agreements known as shadow contracts before they leave China, severely and in some ways illegally restricting their activities while on American soil. Workers are forbidden to participate in any religious or political activity, or to ask for a salary increase, or even to fall in love or get married.
It's 1.6 million people locked in jail. They the new slave labor force trapped in hell. Yeah. They generate over $1 billion worth of power, and only getting paid 20 cents an hour. They make clothes for McDonald's and for Applebee's, and working 40-hour shifts in prison factories. And while we sit around debating who the whack em sees, they have to work when arthritic pain attack the knees. Slavery's not illegal, that's a fucking lie. It's illegal unless it's for conviction of a crime. The main objective is to get you in your prime and keep the prison full and not give you a dime. But they the real criminal, keeping you confined for a petty crime, but they give you 2 to 9. And ain't nobody there to protect you except a bunch of incompetent human rights inspectors.
Is life worth living if you living in hell when the mind is confined to a prison cell? And the lies they devise in the system that fell, but I expect the system to fail.
For press use only.
Is life worth living if you living in hell when the mind is confined to a prison cell? And the lies they devise in the system that fell, but I expect the system to fail.
The sweatshop situation kind of pervasive and kind of take advantage on the people that are poor and at an economic disadvantage. This Chinese woman made t-shirts and pants at the factory until she became pregnant. Tu Xiaomei says she refused to have the abortion and has now been barred from entering the factory.
Allowing to bring that onto U.S. soil is a very deep concern. We've now documented the fact that management workers who become pregnant into having abortions.
Human rights workers say it's common practice. Inside that factory, Chinese law applies. And Chinese law is supreme, even though it's the United States of America. That's right.
The flag doesn't fly inside there.
Welcome back to the Fringe Radio Show right here on WRFNLP, Passwell, Tennessee, Radio Free Nashville and RadioFreeNashville.org, 103.7 FM. Appreciate you guys for tuning in tonight. We're here every Monday night, 6 to 7 p.m. My name is E.T. I'm in the house tonight with my boy James. And that was Lynyrd Skynyrd with Simple Man. And James, you're a simple man, yeah? I feel like you're a man of simple things.
Try to be.
And you told me off air that's actually is one of your favorite songs. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I've loved Lynyrd Skynyrd all my life, even as a very young kid. And I actually hadn't heard that song, or at least not heard it and remembered it until I was an adult. I was leaving out for the military. The first time I called my mom, she said, "Son, I want you to listen to a song. And this is how I feel about where you're going in life right now." And she told me to listen to it, and I heard it. I'd never heard it before, and it just had a huge impact on me, because over time I realized that they used one word in the song that will make the difference between how you live your life, and that word is try. If anything you want to do, you have to try to do it. It's just not going to come naturally to you.
Yep.
So if you want to live a life, if you want to live a simple life, society does not make that easy for you these days. You really got to try to do that, no matter what vocation you're in, no matter what your hobbies are. You have to try to do what's going to make you happy and put effort into it, or you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Your mom just sent you that song. It was like, you know, this is everything I want to say in this song right here.
That, and then there was Ozzy Osbourne, "Mama, I'm Coming Home."
Yeah, that's a good one too. We'll throw that one on the next show that we do. Let's keep it moving with the music. Up next, we've got Frank Sinatra, "My Way." We'll talk a little bit about it when we come back. But funny, they have a documentary about Sinatra on Netflix now. And it really talks about everything about his life and his family and a lot of things I didn't know about Sinatra. I've been sampling his music for years and learned a lot more about him. So you guys should check that out on Netflix. It's a Sinatra about, it's a documentary about Sinatra.
It's a Sinatra about documentaries.
It's a Sinatra about documentaries. Here we go. Here's Frank Sinatra with "My Way."
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets I've had a few, but then again too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was dark, I've
share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way.
There it is, Frank Sinatra with My Way. We were talking off the air about that documentary, and I knew the background to that song. It was basically him sort of announcing his retirement and doing it his own way, and making sure that, as you said, none of his words or messages could be misconstrued. So great track right there. Up next, let's just keep the music rolling. We've got Charlie Tuna, and this is a track called Righteous Way, and then we'll come back after that and we'll see how much time we got. This is ET. You're listening to The Fringe Radio Show.
Types of wrong. I love my pops. Through penitentiary, drug addiction, and misery, you defeated the enemy. I love my pops. 20 some odd years, wiping my little sister's tears. She missed dad, but where was my pops? Too proud to tell us he was running from his demons, and we thinking that nothing could ever budge my pops. But I used to wonder what put my moms under my pops and kept them together for 17 summers. I reminisce in my mind, me and my pops would bond. The time we spent, it never seemed funner. But I remember the day that he left. Him and my mama, they never nurtured their relationship. And it went from Bonnie and Clyde to problems with money and pride. Together they couldn't decide. Separation and miscommunication. I love my mama more than I love myself. Along with grandmama, they played my two parents. So you know I love them more than I love myself. In and out of prison for stealing, illegally making a living. But she taught me how to love myself. Pops wasn't there to teach me about the man inside. I had to learn who he was myself. I was the man of the house, so my younger siblings looked up to me as the father that they never had. Resentful of the fact my sister would talk smack and call a sperm donor, but never call him dad. It's sad, I know it gets lonely for my only brother, cause him and his father never really got to know each other. In those days I vowed for sure, if I ever had a child I would choose.
Hola, mis queridos. Dear Muscle E. Stewart, a.k.a.
I became a parent at the age of 21 with no doubts or questions, cause I love my son. I fell for a woman, same name as my mama, maintained heavy drama, but I love my son. 11 years of love, lies, and fears, closed our eyes and ears, but because my son had nothing to do with the reason we would fight for days, we kept it together to raise my son. In the beginning, we would ditch school to see each other. She quit school and ran away so we could be together. Before I got paid for working my tongue, the greatest moment that we shared was the birth of my son. Another 8 years passed till the day that I left. And why's that? We never nurtured our relationship, and it went bust and died because of problems with trust and pride. Together, we couldn't decide.
The righteous way. You know, brothers and sisters, you see, the righteous way to go. Little one would know, or believe if I heard them say, the righteous way to go. Little one would know, or believe if I heard them say, the righteous way.
That was Charlie Tuna with Righteous Way. And that's my jam. And that positive sort of uplifting stuff, that's what really does it for me. I was watching a video of DMC the other day, just kind of blasting all these sort of new school rappers and about how we need sort of more positivity in music. So that was a good one. That was a good one to put on the list. Now we're getting close to the end of the show, so we definitely got to make some room for a Signed 7 track. So this is a song of yours called Lost Souls. Mm-hmm. First, how old were you when you did this song? It's
probably either 14 or 15. I'm thinking 15.
14 or 15. I know what my stuff sounded at that age, and it didn't sound nearly as good as this. But yeah, tell me a little bit about Lost Souls.
So everything except for the beat was I mixed up myself. I put the whole track together. Anything other than the music you hear is what I did, and it was the first time I had ever done anything like that. I had recorded before. I'd sent my verses to the producer and let them put it over the beat, but that's the first time I'd done it myself. And throughout the song, it's a very personal song to me, because there are a lot of things in there where I'm directly talking to someone.
Yeah.
There are also times where I'm just making up a story to make the song sound good. But the things in there, especially when I talk about the person who I'd lost, his name was Introspect, or that's the name he went by. And while we were
dumb
working,
name.
Yeah, I mean, while we were working on a project, I got a message from his brother saying that he had passed. And
you guys were making a project together.
Yeah, we were working on a song.
It's terrible.
It was going to be a Real Audio. We're going to put it out on Real Audio.
Yeah, the RAM files, I remember.
And there are other things throughout the song as well. There was a mention about some drug overdoses. I experienced that. I came from a really small town. The only thing there was to do there was drugs or nothing else. And people who left the town did fine. Some people who stayed did fine, but it was a sad situation, and a lot of that song just kind of brings that out for me.
Well, here it is. Here's Signed 7 with Lost Souls.
Yo, Signed 7. This is for the real cats, the real boys. I like to call my friends. That were there for me from the start. The ones I could always depend on. The ones that showed me true love like a real homie should. This is for you. Y'all breaking laws, take it all, claiming different sets, naming innocent deaths, getting confined and slain in prison rest, trying to gain a chiseled chest. What the fuck can a peck get you? Still you wreck pistols, ending lives so the next man can set missiles to torch a whole hood. No good to step kiddos, they come from underground and leave your vest shriveled. Despite your best nibbles, you'll never taste the life
The first time you take a step, better make it twice. As soon as you buy happiness, they'll change the price. Take this straight advice, shake loose of fast money. A man don't need a hoe, so lose those ass bunnies. Make some honest cash money, call yourself a real man. The streets ain't your home, but I know how you're feeling. Your cats today, just try to make a good impression. Throwing up figures, faking hood in essence. Perilous lives and victims of lost souls, destined to make new families at crossroads. Gone gold, thinking they proven their manhood, leaving empty graves once where a man stood. Try to bring back the past, your mind lost, breaking their hopes of future dreams when dimes tossed. See my boys with your head up, glad you kids are laughing. Better than seeing a hoodlum looking for trigger clapping. Counting wigs for capping, wasting a perfect mind. It's good to know you left behind, chasing urban crime. Chafing birds and dimes, instead you own businesses. Having beautiful wives, replacing stone mistresses. Friends grow inch by inch, love for love. Loving life to live it right, so don't get thugs. No need to bust a slug. How'd you feel if that was you? Teenagers running after you, mad at you, trying to put a hole in the back of you. You damn bastard, you need to look in your future. Do you see bars of just a black coated suture? Listen to recruiters, fuck it, join the armed forces. Make sure that the pictures of your moms ain't just lost portraits. Perilous lives and victims of lost souls, destined to make new families at crossroads. Flaunt gold, thinking they've proven their manhood, leaving empty graves once where a man stood. Try to bring back the past, your mind lost, breaking their hopes of future dreams with dimes tossed. As for me, my life's fine. I got a wealthy marriage, two kids I love, and a third healthy carriage. My dad passed away, but every day he's with me, looking down from heaven. I know he won't forget me. Simply put, well, I guess I'm living large, but there's still that one thing that I miss at heart. That you, kid, knowing that you're gone, tears my ribs apart. I keep them tracks sparked, knowing you flow behind. Every time on stage, you explode the show with signs. We used to lace tracks together. I won't forget you, kid. Even though I can't see you blaze the boards, I won't forget you, kid. Perilous lives and victims of lost souls, destined to make new families at crossroads. Flaunt gold, thinking they've proven their manhood.
That's going to wrap up the show tonight. Thanks to James, a.k.a. Sign 7, for being here. Appreciate you being on the show tonight, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You guys can check us out next Monday night. Peace.